How many of you have ever owned a Spalding baseball glove or baseball bat? Very interesting. I predicted 100%. Now, as you may know, the Spalding Sporting Goods Company was started by Baseball Hall of Famer A.G. Spalding, who had a belief. This is his core belief. You got to be careful with this. We'll work with this a little bit this morning. Here was his core belief: everything is possible to him who dares. Everything is possible to him who dares. We mentioned this Hall of Famer this morning as we closed the season on our study of the Hall of Faith. How do you like that little play on words? Huh? Pretty cool. All right. We're going to close it with a dare. We're going to close our season in the Hall of Faith with a dare. Open your scriptures for the last time, men. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We'll finish out. Last paragraph today. Verse 39, okay? These were all commended for their faith. Who were the these? These. These are the 20 or so men or women. We had 18 men, I think, and two women, Rahab and Sarah, that we looked at over the last year. We spent a year in this thing. These are people who dared to trust God. And as we pointed out last week, some of these people accomplished amazing things by faith. But as we discussed last time, some by faith had to face all the persecution that this world could throw at them. Now, we don't know physical persecution in this country. We haven't experienced that. And I'm tempted to say yet, but if I say yet, you're going to look at me as a negative person. I'm not. I'm a salesman, essentially. I'm positive. But we have not experienced physical persecution yet. But historically, that has been the way it goes. And the people who study this say that in the 20th century, last century, more people have suffered physically for the gospel than all of the centuries before that combined. We don't have a clue what people go through who trust Christ. Because it goes, I'm on a cul-de-sac here, but it goes 180 degrees the other way from what this world wants to offer us. It says here in verse 39 again, yet none of them, they were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Men, the people we studied only had the shadows. They never received the substance. Let me, for instance, when Moses took the people out of Egypt, and before they crossed the Red Sea, he celebrated the Passover, right? But when he got out there with that branch of hyssop, I guess it's a branch, and the Lord told him to paint the doorpost of the door frame with the blood of the lamb, and then put it on the lintel of the doorpost, he didn't have a clue that this was a type of picture of Christ. A picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now here the writer begins to challenge us. See? He begins to challenge us. He begins to dare us. Look at verse 40 here. God had planned something better for us. He had planned something better for us. Men, we are sitting here this morning. Now, you got to pinch yourself now. We got to think about this. We're sitting on the other side of the cross. 2,000 years later, with the complete revelation. He said something better for us. What is that something better? He's planned something better for us. What is it? We have the gospel. We have it detailed, vivid, in total revelation, proclaimed by the gospels, explained by the epistles, and the revelation written by John at the end of the Bible, which gives us the whole scenario of how the whole thing's going to play out. These men didn't have that. He had planned something better for us. God had planned something better for us so that, now this is so packed, you got to think about this now, and I'm going to try to unpack it for you. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The only thing missing, men, from this whole picture is the final consummation. When Christ returns and we all experience the resurrection of our bodies together, that those men and women and we all. That's the only thing missing in the picture. That only together with us would they be made perfect. Because if you didn't have the gospel that we have today, you'd have an incomplete picture. Amen? So here's the dare. If anything, our faith should be stronger. And we should learn the lessons that these men have taught us. We should be as daring in our faith as these men were. Remember Cain and Abel? What's the lesson there? That was the first one. That was about a year ago. I wish I could do 20 of them. I'm going to do 3 or 4 here. You remember Cain and Abel? What was Cain's problem? Try to fake it. He tried to fake it with God. I bet there's one or two guys in this room that are still trying to fake it. I bet statistically. Still trying to fake it. Going through the motions. A lady that helped train me years ago, she called it rabbit's foot Christianity. Covering the bases, making sure you do the right things. But Abel is real. He is genuine in his faith. He gives the Lord his heart, and that is what the Lord is looking for. That's a good lesson, right? Right out of the chute there. Okay, think about Noah, who, when warned about things not yet seen, that may be talking about rain. They may not have had any rain at that time. And he's out building an ark, right? Why did he build the ark? What does the scripture say? What does Genesis say? Why did he build the ark? To save his family. Are we building arks to save our families, men? The question is, are our marriages and families and homes safe places where our families and friends can meet the Lord? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves. Get so busy with stuff that doesn't matter a hill of beans, that don't have an eternal perspective on it. And we've been warned. Noah been warned. How about us? Jesus is coming back. Have we been warned? It'll be too late. The door will be shut. Do you remember? Okay, Abraham waited 25 years, men, for his son Isaac. He waited 25 years. He's 99 years old. The Lord delivers the promise. And it was his seed that is the result of, that resulted in our sitting here today by faith. 99 years old. And then the boy's 12. He's enjoying the boy. The name Isaac means laughter. He and Sarah are having so much fun with this little kid, and the Lord tests him. He says, hey, I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham obeys. Why did he obey? Raymond got the right answer. He reasoned, man. I'm reading a book now, Fit Bodies, Fat Minds. He reasoned that God could raise the dead. He reasoned, he used his head. So the question I have here for us is, are we prioritizing our lives with the resurrection in mind? Look at verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And then look over at verse 35 quickly. Women received back, raised to life. Others were tortured and refused to be, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Do you plan your life and career with the resurrection in mind? Are we planning for a better resurrection? Are we looking for a better country? When we're tempted to sell out and compromise, we think of Samuel, who stood up at the end of his term in office. He stood up there and he asked the question, "Whom have I cheated?" Got the whole crowd there. And they responded, "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." Integrity. Maintain your integrity. I tell guys when they're up against the wall, Bob told about the Mark Christopher program about a month or so ago, a guy came to my office. He was in terror. He's going to get thrown out of his apartment. And we had the privilege of writing a check for that rent. Another guy was going to lose his real estate license. And we renewed it. What a privilege. And I said, don't lose your integrity, whatever you do. You're tempted, right? Huh? We get scared. Integrity. Okay, lastly. Remember David, the responsible leader? He says, it's my fault. One of Saul's henchmen comes in and wipes out a whole family and village that had helped David out. And he says to this guy, it is my fault. You remember that? I'm responsible. We need to be responsible leaders like David, men. We're responsible for our families. We are responsible for our families. The buck stops with us. I'm tempted to go on a little tangent there and address the sin of thinking that you can wait till Sunday morning for a professional to take care of the spiritual needs of your family. That is not true. You are responsible for that. And if you are not gathering your family together, if you are not instructing them in the scriptures and instructing them about the Lord Jesus Christ, you better get at it. Listen, I'll go along with the Hall of Famer A.G. Spalding's core belief. Everything is possible to him who dares with this one covenant. With this one covenant. Everything that really matters is possible to him who dares to trust Christ and to live by faith. Amen. Will we be that kind of men? Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's have prayer together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege we had to spend a year in the Hall of Faith with all of these people. What fantastic stories, what drama you've given us with all of these people. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Moses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And thank you for this great cloud of witnesses that we have around us to encourage us. When we're tempted to compromise, just think about these people. And they didn't even have the revelation of Jesus Christ in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you for this revelation to us and this privilege and this advantage you've given us. And I pray this morning for the grace to be stewards of the advantage we have and to accept the dare to trust even more than these people did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.